He's to Daniel chapter 9. We're going to finish chapter 9. We may have time to get an introduction to chapter 10. We're winding down. We've got 10, 11, and 12. After we finish 9, 10, 11, and 12 are a final unit, with chapter 10 being kind of an introduction. And all of this is focusing mainly on Israel. All right, George, go ahead and read 24 through 27, okay? Let's get refreshed, and then we'll get started. Do what?
Chapter 9.
Uh-huh.
7 weeks will be determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, and the wall, even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself, and the people of the Prince that shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood, and the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even until consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate.
All right, thank you, George. Verse 24, 70 weeks are determined. Remember, determined speaks of the fact that God is in control. It's all according to his plan and purposes. We see the same thing the end of verse number 26. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. And in verse 27, he shall confirm the covenant with many, literally with the many, speaking of unbelieving Jews who will make a covenant with Antichrist, which also speaks of thy people in verse number 24. So we're narrowing down and focusing mainly on the Jews and God's plan for the nation of Israel. And of course, those unbelieving Jews will make a covenant with Antichrist. Antichrist will be the final political leader who will make promises that he will not keep with the nation of Israel, promising peace in the Middle East. You heard anything about any promises about peace in the Middle East? Well, from what we read here in the Word of God, that will not be a final peace, okay? Antichrist has yet to come on the scene. He may be alive. He might even be in his 20s or 30s, but we don't know. But he almost certainly is alive today. It's kind of shuddering to think about that, isn't it? That Antichrist is alive today. It was off center. I thought I was leaning a little bit. All right, so let's look at the details of the 77s. The details of the 77s. In verse number 25, know therefore and understand, and remember the angel Gabriel came to explain. God sent him in answer to Daniel's prayer in chapter 12. And trying to find the verse here. Verse number 8. And I heard, but I understood not. So even though Gabriel came to help, and Daniel, of course, surely got the gist of what was being said, but a lot of it he did not fully understand. And, of course, the prophets knew nothing of the church age. It's kind of a parenthesis between the 69th and 70th week, and prophets had no idea. Peter wrote about that, how they inquired and wanted to know, but they did not know anything about the church age. Skipped ahead to the tribulation, the millennial reign of Christ. Surely Daniel did not understand everything. Daniel, no doubt, though, was greatly comforted in knowing that God was totally and completely in control and that all of his purposes would be accomplished. And we can rest in that as well. All the turmoil in the world, so many things that are question marks in our minds. We have people talking about things they don't know anything about. They're getting ahead of the game. Best thing to do is to wait and see how all this unfolds. There's no point in fretting over what we do not know. We're not behind the scenes. We don't know the discussions that are going on. But we just have to trust that the Lord is in control. The countdown begins with the decree of Artaxerxes in 445-444 BC to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. John Walvoord, in his book on Daniel, mentions four decrees concerning the rebuilding of Jerusalem. Around 538 BC, there was a decree of Cyrus to rebuild the temple. If you look with me, or I can just read it, in 2 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 36, we read about this decree from Cyrus. Remember, Cyrus was the more powerful of the two, the Medo-Persian Empire. Darius was the king of Persia. Cyrus was the king, of the Medes, and Cyrus was the king of Persia. And so he made a decree, and of course, this decree was really God's decree. It begins with verse number 22. Now, in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, the word of the Lord spoken by the mouth of Jeremiah might be accomplished. The Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, the king of Persia, that he made a proclamation through all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, all the kingdoms of the earth hath the Lord God of heaven given me, and he hath charged me to build him an house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Who is there among you of all his people? The Lord his God be with him, and let him go up. Then there was the decree of Darius, which basically confirmed Cyrus's decree. You can read about that in Ezra 6, verses 6 through 12. Ezra 6, verses 6 through 12. And then there was the first decree of Artaxerxes in Ezra 7, verses 11 through 26. That happened around 458 BC. And then the one I mentioned already, the decree of Artaxerxes in 445-444 BC, given to Nehemiah, authorizing the rebuilding, not just of the walls and the gates, but of the city. And as history has it, the houses were built in order. Everything was organized, streets, the whole nine yards. It was rebuilt. It took, of course, a lot longer than 52 days. The walls and the gates were rebuilt in 52 days. But over a period of years, the city was rebuilt. The first three decrees seem to be dealing only with the building of the temple. You can read about that in Ezra. The scripture that talks about Nehemiah being authorized to rebuild the city is Nehemiah 2, verses 1 through 8. Nehemiah 2, verses 1 through 8. Again, the first three decrees dealing only with the temple, the walls and the city, the houses, etc., began with Nehemiah, and of course it went, that was about 90 years after the first captives returned to rebuild the temple. About 90 years later, Nehemiah came on the scene and the rebuilding of the city began. In verse number 25, Daniel is told of two periods of time which are consecutive. A period of seven sevens, which would be 49 years, and then a period of 62 sevens, or 434 years. It appears that the two separate periods of time is to account for Nehemiah to not only finish the walls and the gates, but to also finish the streets and many of the homes. If you notice the end of verse number 25, Let me read the whole thing, because it kind of, you don't read the whole thing, it doesn't make sense. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublous times. So that gives a period of time for all this rebuilding to take place. The 69 sevens, remember all of these have been fulfilled. We're waiting for the seventh. The 70th seven, 173,880 days or 483 years would end at Christ's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Nisan, March the 14th, 445 BC through April the 6th, AD 32. This dating is according to Sir Robert Anderson. He was quite a brilliant character, Sir Robert Anderson. He was in law enforcement in Britain, I believe, back around the turn of the 20th century, end of the 1800s, very beginning of the 20th century. He, of course, used a 360-day calendar. I've made comments about that. We have a 365-day calendar. Then we have leap year. We get an extra day. Well, what the Jews would do is throw a month in here and there, okay, to bring it into balance. But even in the New Testament, Revelation 11:2 and 13:5 talk about 42 months, which then is equated with 1,260 days, which, of course, is is 7 years. No, wait a minute, 3.5 years. 3.5 years. So that shows that it's a 30-day calendar, okay, 30-day month. You can find that in Revelation 12:6 and also Revelation 11:3. I don't know why I have them in reverse. Then you have the event. Well, I got to go back to some old notes I have. I got a note to myself. Self, go back to the old notes. To kind of sum up verse 27. In 7 years, he in verse 27 refers to the Antichrist. And he, of course, will come into power in the beginning of the 7 year tribulation, making all kinds of promises to Israel. The tribulation is called, among other names, the day of the Lord, the day of Jacob's trouble. It, of course, is a time of terrible suffering, culminating with the return of Christ and his church. The tribulation period, we're going to study that, Revelation chapter 6 through 19. The Lord also dealt with it in the Olivet Discourse, Matthew 24, verses 15 through 35. The beginning of the 7 years, a covenant will be signed by Antichrist and Israel. At the time, Antichrist is going to be a key political figure in Europe, one of the 10 toes of the image in Daniel chapter 2, and the little horn emerging from the 10 horns of Daniel chapter 7, verse number 8, will be this coming Antichrist. He will appear to have the power and ability to end the Middle East crisis, finally. We don't know when that's going to be. It could be soon. Could be real soon. He will promise protection for Israel, and they will readily receive him. In John's Gospel, I'm just going to read one verse in chapter 5. How did you know that? You are an amazing scholar. He's got it all in his head. He doesn't need any notes. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. Many commentators believe the Lord is predicting the coming Antichrist. So they reject the true Christ and receive with open arms the Antichrist. After 3.5 years, the covenant's broken, which ushers in what Jesus called the Great Tribulation. The last 3.5 years will be hell on earth, especially for the Jews. After that 3.5 years, the temple will be seized. Antichrist will put his image there. He will demand that Israel, and as far as that goes, the whole world, worship him. He will stop basically entirely the Jewish religion. They will not be allowed to practice their religion at all. We read about Antichrist when we studied 2 Thessalonians 2. Bill is going to cover Revelation 13, where that beast comes out of the sea of humanity, will come this Antichrist. This is also the abomination of desolation that the Lord predicted, also in the Olivet Discourse in Matthew 24, 15, also Mark 13, 14, and we will also read about it and study it in Daniel 11 and chapter 12. There's a parenthesis between the 69th week and the 70th week. That's where we're at. We're in the church age. The church age, again, of which no prophet spoke. Why is there a parenthesis? Because the prophecy has to do with the Jews, the temple, and the city of Jerusalem. The time between the 69th and 70th week has to do with the church, the body of Jesus Christ. Remember, the church was a mystery to Old Testament saints, and Paul even said that God used him to reveal that mystery. A mystery in the Word of God is something that was previously hidden and then is brought forth as God so instructs. But Gabriel's message showed Daniel that his prayer would be answered, that the people of Israel would be restored to her land. That is not finalized in 1948. That's just the beginning. Most Jews don't live in Israel. They're scattered still around the world. Jerusalem and the temple would be rebuilt, and God would cleanse the nation through the work of Messiah the Prince. All right, now let me go back. The events after the 69th week, the 69th seven, in verse number 26, the promised Messiah came just as it was predicted, and he was cut off, and we know, of course, that means he was crucified, he was killed. The unbelief of Israel and the hard hearts of her leader were in full display. Think about just days before, Christ rode in on that young colt, ass's colt, and they lay down palm branches and hail King of the Jews, and they celebrated his arrival into Jerusalem, and days later they're crying, crucify him, crucify him. They were filled with unbelief. Their leaders had hard hearts, rebellious hearts. Gentile leaders also had hard hearts. Think about Pontius Pilate, and their hearts were full of unbelief. Part of Christ being cut off also included his father turning his back on him as there was darkness upon the face of the earth as the Lord hung on the cross. And for the first time in all of eternity, the father turned as his son had the sins of the world upon him, and Christ cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So there is a gap between week 69 and 70 and the church age fills that gap. After 70, verse 26, after 72 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, but not for himself. And the people of the prince, Antichrist, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. It'll be as devastating as though a flood had roared through and destroyed everything in its path. And unto the end of the war, desolations are determined. Again, God is in absolute control. In AD 70, just as the Lord himself had predicted, Jerusalem was destroyed. The temple was completely destroyed. And because there was so much gold, the heat of the fire, of course, melted the gold in between the stones. And the Romans broke apart every stone to get the gold. Now one stone stayed upon another. Titus, of course, did that, a Roman emperor. This destruction, again, was compared to destruction caused by a flood. The desolations are controlled or determined by our sovereign God, along with war until the end. Since the end is used twice, this could be referring to a future destruction of Jerusalem at the end of this age. But as you study the scripture, Revelation 11, verse 2, speaking of the great tribulation, and compare that to, I'm going to read Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah is a great book, isn't it? Verses 1 through 3. Behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand that day upon the Mount of Olives. And so at the close of the tribulation period, Zechariah 14 makes it clear that Jerusalem will still be in existence, though probably half of it will be ravished by war when Christ comes back with us in power and great glory. So all of verse 26 is fulfilled already. Then the seven-year tribulation period, as I mentioned. We talked about the covenant with Israel. The last 3.5 years of great tribulation, Matthew 24, 15 through 26. So Daniel's prophecy will officially end with the second coming of Jesus Christ. Questions or comments?
One thing I found out, when Antichrist is revealed, of course that's when the church is taken out.
Mm-hmm.
It's natural, and the Holy Spirit is no longer doing what he was doing now. There's an undefined period of time there where Antichrist establishes himself and takes all this into consideration. It's only when he signs that covenant with Israel is when that last week begins.
There you go.
It could be a period of a few years.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's interesting that what he's going to be doing in those few years is establishing his deceit and how he's going to deceive people with his
Keep in mind that there will be an unholy trinity. Because you have Antichrist, the beast coming out of the sea, and then you have the false prophet as well. He's the spiritual arm of the satanic triunity, and then Satan himself. So you got Satan, you have the beast, the false prophet, same. And then, pardon?
Still the title of my, the unholy trinity.
Oh, okay. Keep in mind, the Holy Spirit will still be active because people will be getting saved. He's not going to be totally removed. But remember, we think the world's evil, right? Would you agree with that? The world's pretty evil. But when the restraining power, much of the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is lifted, it's going to be multiplied times worse. Yeah. 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 Now, all of this is summed up. All that we talked about last week and this week is summed up. You should have the handout. I have, mine is copied color, so Barbara made this. I had kind of a handwritten thing, and Barbara, last time went through Daniel Revelation, made it nice. So I don't know if there's any of these left. If you haven't got one and you want, if you want one, we can certainly get you one if you don't have one. But that lays it all out, the 70 weeks. All right, any other questions? All right, let's get into 10. I'm not going to read any scripture. I want to give some background. Human history reveals some remarkable figures concerning the evil, warlike nature of men. I'm going to write a date down here so I don't get messed up. These figures are old, not ancient, but they're old. So there have been more wars since these figures. But since 3600 BC, there have been only 292 years without a war somewhere. Think about that. 3600 BC. There have been 14,531 plus wars. 3,640,000,000 have been killed in these wars. The cost of these wars would pay for a golden belt to go around the entire world. I think is it the diameter? It's 24,000 some odd miles, or is that the circumference? I can't remember. Yeah, what? That's circumference? So you got 24,000 some odd miles, 100 miles wide, this golden belt, 100 miles wide, 33 feet thick. 100 miles wide, 33 feet thick going around the world. That's how much money's been spent on war. And then you can add to that because we've had some recent wars. Since 650 BC, there have been 1,656 arms races. Only 16 have not ended in war. The rest ended due to economic collapse. That's what happened to the Soviet Union. They tried to keep up. Their economy wasn't strong enough, and they collapsed. Since the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, there has not been a single year without a war somewhere. In the last 500 years, England's had, and again, you can add a couple of some of these, England, 78 wars. France, 71 wars. Netherlands, 23 wars. Spain, 64 wars. Australia, 52 wars. Germany, 23. You think that'd be the highest one. Germany, 23 wars. Italy, 25 wars. China's had 11 wars. Denmark has had 20 wars. Sweden, 26 wars. Poland, 30 wars. Russia, 61 wars. 62 now. Turkey, 43. Japan, 9. The European nations alone have engaged in 74 wars during the first generation of the 20th century. Not the 21st, the 20th century. Even in our short history, we're going to be 250, coming right around the corner, 250. By the way, next week, I was going to try to combine 4th of July America message with the gospel. I'm going to do, since it's July the 5th, day after the 4th, I'm going to do the 4th of July because I want to focus totally on America and how it relates to the Word of God. So we're going to delay that 1 week. Even in its short history, America has been involved in about 16 wars in 250 years. So the question is, how can we explain that seemingly peaceful nations and relatively intelligent people have been consistently driven to violence and murder almost since the beginning of time? Well, the answer is found in Daniel chapter 10. The fallen nature of man and demonic forces working in and through world leaders. Remember, there are demons always in our atmosphere. I believe, I can't prove this, but I believe that all these different They don't call them UFOs anymore. They call them something else. I don't know what was wrong with UFOs.
UAP.
Yeah. UAP?
Yeah.
Anyway, I believe they have satanic origins. Do I believe in life in other places? No, absolutely not. No, I don't. Could there be life? I guess. I think God would have mentioned that. I don't see it in the Word of God. Have you seen it in the Word of God? David is in the Word of God and other people.
I haven't seen it either.
I've read that book a few times. I haven't seen it. So I think it's Satan. Who is the great deceiver? Who's the great liar? Who's the great counterfeiter? He's going to do everything he can to confuse. But do you realize that there are people, because of these things that were just released, have denounced their faith? You read about that? Heard about that? Denounced their faith because of UFOs or UAPs or whatever they are. I don't know why, but they did. Obviously, they didn't have much of a faith to start with. So the fallen nature of man, demonic forces, are constantly at work in world leaders. And we'll see how some of this works in chapters 10 through 12, especially 10. All right, questions, comments? Words of great wisdom. Anybody? Don't forget, if you have anybody else to sign up for next Sunday, please do so, because we got to order the chicken. I'm going to order it Wednesday, make sure that they have enough time to order the chicken. Be a shame if they ran out. We'd have to search the highways for roadkill. And that's not pleasant. All right, continue to pray for the church. Please pray. Continue to pray for next week. Pray the Millers will be in good health and won't have any colds or allergies going on. Pray that all that have signed up will come and many more will show up. That we'll have a great day in the Lord, a day of singing and praying and hearing good singing and the Word of God and fellowshipping around the table and just enjoying one another in the Lord. We need to get used to that here. We're going to spend eternity together. We should kind of get to know and love each other here, don't you think? Pray for our nation. Pray for the leaders. Situation in Iran. See, what happens when you deal with crazy people and liars and radicals and people that think that their religion is correct when it's of the devil himself, you can't deal with people like that. Can you? I mean, how can you possibly think that a terrorist that would kill you in a moment if they could would ever make an agreement they would keep? So it's kind of futile. I understand why the president's doing it. And I think he's probably right in trying. But as we read our Bibles, we know it's not going to work out in the long term, is it? Maybe it'll buy us some time. We'll have some good years before the Lord comes back. Pray for our leaders. Pray for the coming election in November. I know it seems like years away, but it's coming up quickly. Primaries have been, we got a lot of communist America haters that are winning elections, or, you know, not the final election, but winning their primaries. Can you believe that? In the United States of America, I'm going to share some statistics. Not next Sunday, Sunday after, when we talk about America. It's going to blow your mind. Pray for the situation around the world, that many will come to Christ through these times of turmoil. You think it's bad here? Gas is coming down a little bit. They pay $10 a gallon. Of course, they use liters in Europe. $5 tax per gallon. $5 tax in Europe. Trying to get people to stop driving their cars. That'll work. $10 a gallon, that'll work. Pray for our troops. Pray for law enforcement, ICE officials. Pray for our missionaries. Hope House here in town. Continue to pray for Mark and for Rhonda as she has additional burdens placed on her. Pray for Bill that those ancient kidneys will continue to work. How's your blood pressure this week? Excellent. So your wife's been nice to you this week? Yeah.
Maybe we need to check Betty's blood pressure.
Yeah. 240 over 125. I talked to Ronnie on Friday, and he's doing a little bit better, but he's got a situation where he can't get too far from that porcelain thing he's been dealing with. And so he said to say hello to everybody. And he said other than that, of course, his back, he said his back will never get better. But other than that, he's doing a little bit. He sounded stronger. His iron was way down. They had to give him an injection, infusion of some kind. They're trying to figure out why his iron keeps dropping. Amanda has surgery on July the 10th. Pray for her. Jerry Giffen, who has throat cancer, is getting treatments. Continue to pray for him. Frank and Robin, I didn't hear anything this week. Probably haven't got, I think their first tests were Wednesday, so I doubt if they got any results. They said they wouldn't be here today either, so if I don't hear anything, what?
I talked to Jerry.
Oh, yes.
And he said, thank you for all of your prayers, and there's many churches that send in prayers also, and he can feel, and he's doing pretty good so far.
Excellent. Praise the Lord for that. All right, keep praying for Jerry. So I'll contact Frank and Robin sometime in the beginning of the week. Hopefully they'll be able to come Sunday. Pray for my friend down in Florida. He was one of the original 11 in the church that I pastored, my first church. And he turned 70 this month, and he's the one that had bladder cancer. And he's noticed he's starting to bleed a little bit again when he goes to the bathroom. So he's greatly concerned that the cancer's come back. Hopefully it's just an infection. But pray for Dave Woodard. Ward's had, he's got some vein issues, not deep vein, but surface veins. He's had surgery on part of it. How many more you got? About six? About six more where they got to take care of some vein issues. So pray for Ward. Rebecca Dawson's friend Bub had took a turn to the worst. Remember we were praying for Bub? And so continue to pray for him. Virginia Walters has an infection in her PICC line, so pray for her. Kevin Walters may need gallbladder surgery, so pray for him. And Sharon Bishop had a stroke, so pray for Sharon. All right, let's. Yes, ma'am, I see that hand.
I forgot to add one on there.
Okay. Okay.
She's having surgery, tomorrow. I think it's her shoulder.
Okay. All right. The 19th, our little girl is like, a couple days ago, our little girl, Carrie Ann, would have been 49. She died in, she was 18 months old, died when I was in Bible college, first semester, right before final exams. I had a hard time. Thankfully, the professors, of course, were very understanding, and they gave me a little time before I took those finals. All right, let's stand together and have a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for being the great God that you are. And Lord, when we go through the hard times, the difficult days, the days of heartache and loss and pain, we look to you and we know that you are absolutely in control and you love us with an everlasting love. You love us more than any human being ever could. I pray, Father, that you would touch the bodies of these we called out to you. and heal them according to your will and purpose. And if you don't do a complete healing, we pray, Lord, you give them that peace and that grace that will provide the need. We know, Lord, that you never put us through anything or allow anything to happen to us that's not according to your plan and purpose. I pray, Lord, for those that are traveling. I think of Gary and Kathy who are on vacation this week. Pray safety for them. Thank you that Rhonda's back safely. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that you would continue to give good health to the Millers as they prepare to come. We pray, Lord, they'd come with good health, that you keep us healthy, that you'd give us a extra special blessing. And Lord, help us to be a blessing to one another, to get to know each other a little bit better. And Lord, I pray that you would direct our plans as far as food and all the rest. There'd be enough food. And Lord, that we would have a blessed time, that our hearts would be open to the Holy Spirit of God, and we would be ready to worship next Sunday. And we pray for the coming hour, that we are now ready to enter into worship and praise and to spend some time in your word. Protect those traveling in. I pray, Lord, that you would build the Sunday school class. Lord, it grieves my heart that so few take advantage of it. And I pray that would change in coming weeks. Thank you, Lord, for being so good. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us enough to die for us. Help us to honor you more each day that we live. For I pray in Jesus' name, amen.